Good morning. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Madison teacher who was killed in the December school shooting will be honored at a national memorial. 42-year-old Erin West was loved at Abundant Life Christian School. She served as the substitute teacher coordinator. WKOW reports her name will be added to the National Memorial to Fallen Educators. It falls under the umbrella of the National Educator Hall of Fame in Kansas. The memorial includes three large stone books engraved with the names of teachers who died serving others. It was created after the Sandy Hook school shooting in 2012 and is the only memorial dedicated to teachers who died on the job because of violence, accidents, or illness like COVID-19 they caught at work. With 189 names, the memorial is almost full. The organizers have a fundraiser to add more books to hold more names. West will be added to the memorial in a ceremony June 20th. Meanwhile, the Abundant Life shooter's father was just in court. Jeffrey Rupnow faces three felonies for allegedly supplying the gun his daughter used to kill West and 14-year-old Ruby Vergara and hurt six more before she died by suicide. The court appearance was uneventful. Lawyers scheduled a preliminary hearing for July 24th. That's where a prosecutor has to prove they have enough evidence to move forward with the case. Dane County District Attorney Ishmael Ozan had previously said no one knew the girl better than her father and his actions contributed to the shooting. For each of the three shootings, Rupnow faces the potential of 6 years behind bars and up to a $10,000 fine. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss accuses the Evers administration of lying about the budget. Governor Tony Evers said in a statement that Republicans refuse to agree to meaningful investments in education, childcare, and the UW system as negotiations broke down. Appearing on WISN's Upfront, Voss says Republicans are willing to make investments, just not the amount Evers wants. Voss says Republicans were also willing to give the UW system funding, but less than the governor and system's $800 million request. Budget talks between Evers and Republican lawmakers broke down last week. There is currently a vacancy in District 1 East on the Richland School Board following the resignation of Lee Van Landite. If you are a legal voter living in District 1, you are invited to submit a declaration of candidacy by noon Friday, July 11th to the district office. At last night's board meeting, it was noted that since the April 28th reorganizational board meeting, the board has seen three past board members leave the board for various reasons. Board member Neil Huntemer chose in December 2024 to declare non-candidacy and not seek re-election this past April, citing family time as the main reason. Board member Robin Dickman resigned in May of 2025 to accept a full-time teaching position with the Richland School District, and board member Lee Van Landite resigned in May of 2025, citing the desire to get back into the classrooms as a volunteer. Given that the board will soon have three new members, it was felt this was a great time to kick off a four-part series of board development. Instead of having a retreat or other format, this series is being done in open session. Having these presentations to the board in open session does promote transparency while also educating the general public with how a school board functions and operates, along with some misconceptions and frustrations a board member may feel regarding their roles and responsibilities. Session one held last night was conducted by District's General Legal Counsel, Kirk Strang of Strang Law, LLC. The session focused more on the legal requirements a board and individual members must meet. In order to accommodate the schedules of some of the speakers in future sessions, two of the upcoming regularly scheduled meetings would need to be moved. The revisions to the upcoming meetings include the regularly scheduled board meetings from Monday, June 23rd to Wednesday, June 25th, and from Monday, July 14th to Wednesday, July 16th. There will be new leadership at the Richland Intermediate School. It was announced at the Richland School District Board of Education meeting last night that Felipe Armijo will be serving as the principal at the intermediate school. He comes from the Wisconsin Dells School District with 21 years of experience. The current intermediate principal, Lisa Brown, will be the new board certified behavioral analyst for the new Thrive program. Public Health Sauk County invites community members to partner in tackling the top three health priorities identified in the 2024 Community Health Assessment: housing, mental health, and substance use. Together, through the Community Health Improvement Plan, the department and community members will work on meaningful strategies to create a healthier, stronger Sauk County. These priorities, chosen by Sauk County residents through a countywide survey, will focus local health efforts for the next 3 years. In response, Public Health Sauk County is inviting people from across the community to join local coalitions to make progress in each of these areas. Community members can get involved by joining one of the following action teams. Sauk County Housing Action Team seeks to increase housing availability by supporting local leaders. The team offers free technical assistance, housing assessments, and more. Prevent Suicide Sauk County focuses on reducing suicide attempts and deaths through education and promoting safe firearm storage for those in crisis. Partnership for Prevention reduces youth use of alcohol and tobacco or vapes, as well as prescription drug misuse, by decreasing the availability of these drugs. Support People and Empower Recovery, or SUPER, hosts monthly social events and collaborates with the Wishope Recovery Community Center to support people in recovery. To learn more or to get involved, contact Jody Molitor at jody.molitor@saukcountywi.gov or call 608-355-4315. Public News Service reports Southwest Wisconsin is seeing an increase in clean energy. Those in favor say these large-scale renewable projects are economically beneficial for the community. Around 10% of electricity in Wisconsin comes from renewable sources. These include biofuels, wind, and solar. Roughly 6,500 people work in the industry, which invest $15.5 million a year in property, state, and local taxes, and more than $15 million annually in land lease payments. Critics argue renewable energy replaces some of the state's agricultural uses. Those in favor claim less than 2% of Wisconsin's ag land is needed to reach the state's clean energy goals. Governor Evers announces a tourism hat trick in Wisconsin with the third record-breaking year in a row. Wisconsin Department of Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers said the state's tourism industry brought in a record high $25.8 billion in total economic impact in 2024. This surpassed the previous year's record of $25 billion. This year's tourism hat trick includes a record-breaking amount of state and local revenue, a record-breaking 114.4 million visitors, and a record-high economic impact for tourism. The industry grew 2.2% from last year, supporting 182,000 part-time and full-time jobs across sectors in 2024. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is warning residents of a slight increase in tick activity so far this year. Officials cited a few reasons for the increase, including a growing tick population over recent years, improved reporting of tick-related illnesses, and residents spending more time outdoors overall. They're also warning about the increased prevalence of deer ticks, with nearly 6,400 cases of Lyme disease reported in 2023. Residents should be on the lookout for signs of ticks when outdoors and take precautions like wearing long pants and sleeves. Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany is calling on the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin to prioritize overall power production and not to close coal-fired plants. In a letter to the commission, Congressman Tiffany said keeping all of the state's current power plants online and opening new power facilities is critical to maintaining the state's manufacturing industry. He's calling for the use of all power supply sources, including natural gas, coal, and nuclear power. He also claimed wind and solar energy production can't keep up with the state's needs. The bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa is now open. After being closed on May 17th, the Iowa Department of Transportation said the 94-year-old Lansing Bridge was open as of 10 o'clock Monday morning. The bridge, also known as the Black Hawk Bridge, was closed when a shift in one of the 94-year-old bridge's foundational piers was detected, prompting the May 17th closure. In an update on Monday, Iowa DOT officials said after inspection and engineering review, the bridge is safe to cross. The work to eradicate cancer is nationally funded due to the efforts of many established organizations operating on a worldwide scale. But in Richland County, support comes from a local source, one with over 20 years dedicated to making a difference. Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination Incorporated, or GRACE, this volunteer organization remains 100% committed to helping our neighbors and friends, says Board President Eileen Stevens. GRACE was started in 2003 as a way to keep the money raised here where it matters most. 58% directly helps eligible applicants with food, gas, utilities, and more. 25% is given to UW-Carbone Cancer Center and Gunderson Health for cancer research. 10% supports the medical communities within the GRACE service area. 5% is used for cancer prevention events and education, and just 2% is used to cover operating costs. GRACE has raised more than $4 million since its inception. GRACE's commitment to rural medicine was felt by the Richland Hospital and Clinics when the hospital's foundation accepted a $40,251 gift to fund a gastroscope, a vital tool used in the early detection of certain types of cancer. This critical access hospital employs around 420 people and operates from its main location in Richland Center, with additional clinics in Muscadet and Spring Green. The Richland Hospital and Clinics gives patients access to colonoscopies, along with other cancer screenings, with procedures usually scheduled within a few weeks of referral. SSM Health is proud to announce and celebrate the accomplishments of three outstanding team members who graduated from the Sauk County Institute of Leadership Program on May 20th. Dr. Sherilyn Munke serves at the Wisconsin Dells Clinic, specializing in family medicine and geriatric medicine. Blair Murphy, the lead CT technologist at St. Clair Hospital Baraboo, and Carrie Kincaid, the inpatient nursing manager at St. Clair Hospital Baraboo, dedicated 9 months of intense learning to the program, which focuses on leaders' personal and professional development in service of Sauk County organizations. The Sauk County Institute of Leadership is dedicated to bringing together emerging leaders from various community segments through a program designed to empower, engage, and equip them to make a positive difference in Sauk County. The program aims to develop dynamic leadership skills that translate into county work, business growth, and community development. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources congratulates the winners of the 2025 Invasive Species Action Awards presented by the Wisconsin Invasive Species Council during Invasive Species Action Month. The governor-appointed council advises the DNR and the state legislature on invasive species issues. The council awards individuals and groups in professional and volunteer settings that positively impact the fight against the spread of invasive species. The winners represent all regions of Wisconsin. They use many different approaches in their efforts, but each winner is united in putting in long hours in the ongoing work against the spread of invasive species. This year's winners include Ben Johnston in his role with the Kickapoo Valley Reserve in Vernon County. He has led invasive species control and monitoring activities on more than 8,600 acres. In addition, Ben has devoted hundreds of hours of volunteer time organizing community events and spreading the word about invasive species. Governor Tony Evers, together with the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, has announced 10 regional workforce development organizations across the state will receive nearly $10.3 million in grants through the second round of funding awarded through the Worker Advancement Initiative. In total, projects receiving funding through the second round of the WAI are projected to help more than 1,400 Wisconsinites find or improve their employment through paid work-based learning and classroom training. Participants served through the WAI will benefit from a continuum of services, including paid work experience opportunities to develop and/or enhance job skills, training so participants can acquire occupational skills connected to in-demand jobs along with critical work-based skills needed to succeed, on-the-job training opportunities that will lead to economic self-sufficiency, and supportive services to address related barriers to employment, which may include assistance for childcare, housing, transportation, and worker stipends. Grants were awarded to 10 workforce development boards across the state, including the Southwest Wisconsin Workforce Development Board, which received $685,422 to serve 143 participants by supporting training in accelerated industrial maintenance, firefighting certified nursing assistants, and welding. Training will be provided to 3 cohorts in the AIMS Summer Program, 1 cohort in the Fire Academy, 3 cohorts of CNA trainees to prepare for the National Nurse Aid Assessment Program exam and state accreditation, 1 cohort of welding trainees in the Prairie du Chien Correctional Institution, and 1 cohort of welding trainees at Southwest Wisconsin Technical College. Walk with Grace teams are reminded that the t-shirt order forms are due today. Order forms, along with any new artwork that is needed for this year, should be dropped off at the Grace office by 6 tonight. If you are using the same work as in years past, you can just check that line on the bottom of the form. Note that there is a $2 additional charge for each 2XL, 3XL, or 4XL shirt that is ordered. The Grace office will be open today from now until 6. The office is located above Royal Bank in downtown Richland Center. Also, if you still owe the registration fee, please drop that off as well or make other arrangements as to when and how that is being paid. The Wisconsin Humane Society is looking for families to adopt foster dogs. Spokeswoman Angela Speed says the group is sheltering 400 dogs right now, and that's too many. 100 of the dogs are ready for adoption, and WHS is offering a discounted adoption fee of $75 for all dogs over 6 months old. Speed says adopting a pet means you can be sure it's healthy, that you know its history and temperament, and if that pet is right for your family. The event runs through Wednesday, and you can find out more online at wihumane.org.